First, we take a look at some of the week's biggest stories in national politics. Congress is working toward a federal spending deal that would avert a government shutdown on Friday. Last night's congressional primary election in Illinois put a spotlight on Democratic divisions over abortion rights. And GOP leaders say that Robert Mueller's job is safe after more criticism from the president. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What issues would you like to see resolved in the latest federal spending plan? Do you want to see funding for approval for the DACA program, protection for people here brought here illegally as youth? What about border security, military funding? In Democratic politics, do you want to see moderate Democrats running or people further to the left? Same question for Republicans, moderates, or people further to the right. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Daniel Neuhauser is a staff correspondent for the National Journal. He joins us from the U.S. Capitol building. Daniel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Rob. Anytime.
We've had this long series, Daniel, of these last-minute bills to avoid a shutdown or to not avoid a shutdown in some cases. The last one, I thought, was supposed to be a long-term deal, so we wouldn't be back here again and again, but we're back here this week. What happened?
Well, this is basically par for the course now for funding the federal government. We had an unprecedented stretch over the last 5 or 6 months of a continuing resolution, which is basically a short-term bill, you know, just saying let's fund everything at the current levels for about a month. And now, finally, about 6 months late, they're going to do the hard work of funding the government for the current fiscal year, which we're already about halfway through. And that's going to run through about September. And you know, hopefully by then they'll have another deal to do it all over again.
And what are the big issues, the points of contention as we run up to this weekend deadline?
Well, the funny thing about this is it funds all aspects of the federal government. And so whatever is the sort of a top-line fight ends up being things that were just fought about. So we're basically relitigating all the political fights of the last year or so. We've got Obamacare and health care. We've got immigration. We've got guns, veterans, you know, the tax bill that just passed. Almost every one of these things is up in the air because in some cases because Congress was unable to act on them over the last year, and in some cases because they did act, but they acted hastily, like with the tax bill. So they're trying to fix certain things, you know, with that. And I'd be happy to drill down into any one of those categories to talk a little bit more about them.
So it's like those old KTEL albums of the greatest hits of a certain time period. This is Congress's greatest hits of debate lately. One thing that's coming back up, and I do want to dig into some of these, deferred action for childhood arrivals. It keeps being debated. Can we get a deal? People in Congress are saying around this latest funding plan. What's going on with that this time around?
So there is not going to be a deal for the DACA folks in this spending bill. You know, Congress has been talking about taking care of this for a couple of years. They were, you know, famously unable to. So then President Obama created a program with an executive order to essentially shield people who came to the country as young children, as underage children, from deportation, even if they came here without the documents. You know, now that program is held up in the courts. Trump threatened, you know, to undo that program, but he's unable to right now because the court system has basically said, you know, you don't have a sufficient reason to do this. And so that kind of took the air out of the balloon for Congress to do anything with it. There's no imminent threat of any changes here. You know, there's really no push behind congressional action. And I think that's probably the single biggest contributing factor to things kind of falling apart as far as a deal goes. So they decided to keep that out of the program. I know earlier in the week the White House had offered a 2.5-year extension of the DACA program in exchange for $25 billion in border wall funding. But Democrats turned that down. For them, you know, why should we you know, spend all this money on a border wall that we don't agree with, that we think isn't going to do the job, but even more than that is symbolically, you know, xenophobic and you know, our base hates it. You know, why should we go along with that until we absolutely have to? For them, there's not an immediate threat of DACA folks being deported, and so we can afford to kind of buy some time on that.
Talking to Daniel Neuhauser from the National Journal about the top stories in national politics. You mentioned that revisiting health care funding and the Affordable Care Act has come up again this week in these negotiations for spending. What are people arguing about this time around?
Well, just like DACA, they decided, well, you know, let's save this issue for another day. So we've got basically premiums are going up on people who are part of the Obamacare exchanges. And so the federal government, you know, there's been talk of making payments to the insurance companies to defray the costs of the premiums. These are called cost-sharing reductions or reinsurance payments. Well, the problem with that is that Republicans, you know, say, why should I vote to fix a bill that I didn't want in the first place and to fund a system that I voted against? So they don't want to do it, but they said, reluctantly, well, we'll do it if we can include protections to make sure that these federal funds don't get spent on plans that fund abortion. And Democrats said, yeah, no way, we're not doing that. So they decided, you know what, let's just scrap the whole thing. This is an issue that we're not going to be able to settle on. There's no middle ground here. So let's just save this one for another day. So that is out of the omnibus, not happening.
There's a lot of that going on, right? A big controversial issue could be resolved in the omnibus funding bill. Isn't going to be.
That's exactly it. I mean, unless there is a make or break deadline, a lot of things don't get done around here in Congress. There has to be a cliff.
There's one I hadn't seen before. I wasn't familiar with this, trying to fix what's called the grain glitch. What is that and what's going on?
Well, this is what the problem that I just talked about with Obamacare. This is the opposite problem, but with the tax bill. So basically, in the recently passed tax bill that Republicans passed here in December, and the president signed, it's now the tax law. There was a famously it was done fairly hastily, and so there are going to be some issues in the bill, and this is one where basically it gives exceedingly generous tax benefits to farmers who sell directly to cooperatives rather than corporations. In some cases, their taxes could go down to zero, and that's an issue for farmers who sell to corporations. And so they are trying to fix that. Now, my understanding of the latest is that it is going to get fixed, and that just like Republicans did with the Affordable Care Act when that needed some tweaks, Democrats said, well, this isn't going to come for free. I'm not a sucker. I didn't like this bill in the first place, so I'm not going to help you fix it without a cost. So my understanding is Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer negotiated some increases yet to be determined to the low-income tax credit. So they get to, fund some of their priorities in exchange for fixing this grain glitch.
Big picture, Daniel, is there a sense that all these controversies aside, something is going to get passed and we're not going to have any kind of shutdown?
I think that is the sense, and actually just before coming on, I noticed that the White House said that they would sign the bill, and that that was kind of up in the air because you don't know where President Trump is going to land on some of these issues. But everybody knows the deal with these big catch-all bills. It's a bill where you hold your nose and you vote for it because it's what you need to do to keep the government funded. I mean, it's a $1.6 trillion bill, there is going to be something in there that you don't like, no matter where you are on the political spectrum. But the fact is, if you don't pass this kind of bill, then we have a government shutdown, and nobody really wants that. So right now, they're in the process of whipping the votes. They can pretty much write off all of the House conservatives and Senate conservatives, and they're just not going to vote for it because they think it spends too much money and they're not willing to hold their nose and vote yes. I think most of the Democrats will be okay for voting on this, but the big question will be, is somebody like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, somebody who's shown to be willing to hold up the whole process for one or two issues, are they going to do something and filibuster? We just don't know. I mean, this could pop out of left field at any time, or I guess right field in this case. So let's just see.
Talking to Daniel Neuhauser, staff correspondent for the National Journal in our weekly review of national news. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts or questions about this? Once again, a government shutdown deadline and a big funding bill. We're going to talk about the primary elections in Illinois, a couple different elections where there was a establishment candidate and somebody challenging from the left for Democrats, from the right for Republicans. What do you want to see in your party? People who are running toward the middle, willing to compromise on issues, or for people further to the left for Democrats, further to the right for Republicans? And should Congress pass a law protecting Robert Mueller from being potentially fired by the president as he goes on with his investigation? Call in on those issues at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We continue our conversation with Daniel Neuhauser of the National Journal, digging into some of the top stories in national politics. Daniel, let's go south of the border from our perspective in Wisconsin. Illinois had their primaries yesterday. And in a congressional race, people were watching incumbent Democrat Dave Lipinski nearly defeated a challenger, Marie Newman. Lipinski was is a anti-abortion Democrat, kind of a rare breed these days. Can you talk about this race?
Yeah, Dan Lipinski, he is a conservative Democrat. He's the co-chair of the so-called Blue Dog Caucus, which is, they're the conservative wing of the Democratic Party, and really a bit of an endangered breed these days. There used to be a lot of them kicking around, and then when Republicans took over the House, frankly, most of the seats that they won on their way to a majority were these kinds of Democrats. But Lipinski is actually in a pretty safe Democratic seat, and I think that's why someone like Marie Newman ran against him. His dad was a congressman. He comes from an old political family. So you can't say that one issue or another turned this race, but definitely in this case, abortion was a central issue with fundraising groups on either side funding one or the other candidate, and even former aides to President Obama getting involved. It was very, very high profile and really exposed a rift between Democrats, between progressives and more sort of moderate Democrats.
Let's bring on a caller. Dave is with us in Toma. Dave, hi.
Hi.
Well, what did you want to bring up, Dave?
Yeah, I'm awake. I'm barely awake. I like the centrist, as you described, centrist candidates, but there aren't very many. It seems like everybody, when I listen to them, too, they're not voting for me, they're not voting for their constituents, they're voting for their party. And I think that's I think the system's become very broken in that respect.
Dave, thanks a lot for the call. And Daniel, people are saying this about both parties at the national level. There's less of a mix of moderate Republicans, conservative Democrats, things like that. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. And since we're talking about Democrats, let's focus on that. I mean, right now they're basically at a bare bones as far as how many seats they can have in Congress. And not surprisingly, a lot of those people who hold these seats end up being, more progressive because they come from more safely Democratic districts where they can, afford to hold more progressive views and still be, still win their seats, but more importantly, still be in keeping with their constituents. But on their road to a majority, they're going to have to go through some of these districts like the one in Illinois or like perhaps the one in Pennsylvania that was just won by Connor Lamb, another Democrat who ran on a more moderate or conservative platform. So there needs to be, if they want to win, it seems, with the current makeup of the House and the way that the districts are drawn, there needs to be, some of these candidates who are going to be able to go into these, Rust Belt districts, or even southern districts, New Mexico, Texas, Virginia, and win over independent voters or even some Republicans now who are disillusioned with Trump but would, probably not vote for a bleeding heart liberal type.
Dave, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Nate in Milwaukee. Nate, hi.
Hi. I am a pro-life Democrat, so I often find myself arguing with people. But I want to have at least the Democratic Party have a big tent so people with different views on all kinds of issues can join. But I also want them to fight for things. And I'll see this at both the state and the federal level where all kinds of environmental rules are getting thrown out and pollution would be potentially allowed to run, polluters would be allowed to run rampant. And I see that as hand-in-hand with corruption on both the federal and state level, and I find it appalling. I certainly hope they would work to fight against both those issues.
Nate, thanks for the call. Daniel, Nate saying Democrats, should be flexible, big tent, but still fight.
Yeah, absolutely. But the question is, fight for what? I mean, you know, you've got a rising progressive wing, and I would say that, you know, a kind of progressivism that we haven't seen in the mainstream of American politics in quite some time. You know, and we'll talk about this, I think, a little later in the show, but Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, you know, these are big, you know, big influencers in the Democratic Party. How do you make a party that can, you know, be unified while including the viewpoints of somebody like that and somebody like Dan Lipinski? You know, that's a question that Democrats are going to have to answer, and especially they're going to have to answer if they win back the congressional majorities, as a lot of forecasters think they will.
We are talking to Daniel Neuhauser from the National Journal, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Moving on to another one now. One of President Trump's lawyers called for an end to Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian campaign interference. This after the firing of former FBI Director Andrew McCabe. Trump on Twitter criticizing the probe more. There's been speculation about Mueller's possible firing. GOP leaders were downplaying that. Here's House Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin.
The special counsel should be free to follow through his investigation to its completion without interference. Absolutely. I am confident that he'll be able to do that. I've received assurances that his firing is not even under consideration. We have a system based upon the rule of law in this country. We have a justice system, and no one is above that justice system.
We've been hearing, Daniel, some Democrats saying, hey, we need a law protecting Robert Mueller from being fired. Republicans saying, don't worry, the White House isn't going to fire him. What are you hearing lately?
Well, I talked to House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy yesterday, and you know, when I asked him what he thinks of this idea to include something in the spending bill to protect Mueller, he said, you know, that's ridiculous. This is just something being brought up by people who want headlines, and you know, they're trying to make the president look bad. There's no threat, and so Republicans in Congress are walking a fine line here. You know, they don't want to anger the president of their own party, especially, you know, let's say this week when they're going to need his signature on this, on a big must-pass bill. And you know, they've shown, you know, a lot of timidity in the past here trying to cross him, essentially because he is probably the most powerful Republican in the country right now. He has almost completely captured the Republican base, and though he remains unpopular, you know, nationwide, he remains very popular among Republicans. You know, they don't want to do anything that would cross him until it is absolutely necessary. Now, that said, we've seen more and more Republicans saying, well, you know, we don't think he's going to do that. But if he does, then, you know, things are really going to go south. That even Jeff Flake, for instance, said the I word, impeachment. Now, if he were to do that, then that would be grounds for impeachment, Flake said. So, you know, I think they're just trying to tread cautiously, and then if something really does happen, like a Mueller firing, then you know, maybe they'll kick into action.
Let's bring on another caller now. Tom is with us in Port Wing. Tom, hi.
Hello. If Congress were to pass something that to protect Mr. Mueller, they need the president to sign it. If he doesn't sign it, it can't become a law. The only way out in that situation would be if the president failed to either sign it or veto it. But if he vetoes it, it's the point is moot again.
Tom, thanks for the call. Yeah, they would need potentially a veto-proof majority to pass a law protecting Robert Mueller, Daniel.
Bingo. I mean, somebody's watched their How a Bill Becomes a Law. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to cobble together in my head a veto-proof majority here, because just so many Republicans wouldn't want to go there with the president. Even today, you know, one Republican said that Mueller should be fired, Louie Gohmert from Texas. You know, and others think this whole thing has been a witch hunt. They've said there should be a special counsel to look into the special counsel, and now even Scalise and McCarthy are into the idea of a special counsel to look into potential FISA abuses. So, you know, the whole thing, it's getting kind of messy, and to think that the president, who has made no bones about how he feels about this investigation, he thinks it's a witch hunt, he said repeatedly, and now has taken to directly attacking Mueller on Twitter, to think that he would sign some kind of a bill like this is really ludicrous.
I want to move on to one more issue you mentioned. On Monday, Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren from the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, they held a town meeting on inequality in America. Here's a listen to Senator Sanders.
Tonight, we are going to ask some questions and have a discussion with some of the most knowledgeable people in this country on issues that are very, very rarely, if ever, discussed in the corporate media.
And this is interesting because this was kind of a social media thing, getting around that traditional media Senator Sanders just mentioned. What do you make of this, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's nothing new from Sanders, and he's very effectively used his mouthpiece to try to bring attention to the issues that that he cares about, which are inequality, income inequality, the middle class is being decimated, all kinds of issues dealing with poverty, and so with the mouthpiece that he has and the voice that he has and the fact that he is so popular among progressives and particularly young progressives, you can expect that he and fellow Senator Elizabeth Warren are going to keep up the drums on those kinds of issues and keep trying to push their party further towards the left on that kind of stuff, and when they take the majority, if they take the majority, that's going to be a big deal to see whether they heed the call and try to pass some kind of legislation that conforms to those kinds of ideals.
Daniel, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Anytime. Thank you.
We've been talking to Daniel Neuhauser, staff correspondent for the National Journal. He joined us to look at some of the week's top stories in national politics.